fire with fire. "You're a Magus, then?" asked Stour.
"The Magus Radierus, at your service."
No doubt he sounded the part, making quite the meal from every R passed through his mouth, and he looked the part too, robe with all sorts of gold thread in it, and a big long beard, forked and streaked with white, and a twisted staff with a sort of crystal on the end. "So you can do magic?" Stour had his sword drawn. He loved to keep it drawn, which seemed folly to Clover. The big advantage of a sword over an axe, after all, is that you can sheathe the bastard thing and not make everyone nervous. But making everyone nervous was one of the great wolf's favourite pastimes, sword's point resting on the flagstones beside Scarling's chair, toying with the pommel, turning it so the blade flashed and flickered. Sometimes when the sun hit the windows right, he'd catch it on his sword and shine it in people's eyes. Just because.
"Not only magic."
The old man sounded pretty confident as he wafted his staff about.
"But the high art of Juvens."
There was quite the sheen of sweat across his forehead, though. "Show me," said Stour. Clover didn't much like the way this was going. The old man closed his eyes, muttering some words Clover couldn't understand, waved his free hand with much to do, then flung something into the air in a puff of glittering dust. It was a little bird, which flapped about a bit and ended up sitting puzzled on one of the rafters.
"That's nice," said Clover.
Beside him, Black Calder took another swig of ale and disgustedly shook his head.
"By all the fucking dead."
"I thought it was nice."
Stour, it seemed, did not agree. He narrowed his eyes the way he did when someone was about to get hurt, which wasn't rarely.
"I heard tell you could disappear."
"Well,
The eyes of the Magus darted nervously about.
"Only under certain conditions, my king. Auspicious moments in the moon's cycle, you understand. When the stars align and..."
"Hit him," said Stour.
Greenway's fist smacked into the old man's cheek and knocked him flat on his back, robes flapping and his staff clattering down, the crystal on the end jolting loose and skittering away into a corner.
"I just do tricks,"
he squealed, as Greenway dragged him up again, his magnificence somewhat spoiled by a bloody mouth.
"In a travelling show, it's not magic, not really."
His R sounds weren't too clever any more. None of his sounds were.
"I'm not a Magus. I can disappear, but it's a box with a fake bottom."
Stour's lip curled.
"Get this old half-head out of my sight."
Greenway caught the would-be Magus around the neck and hauled him towards the door, heels helplessly kicking. Turned out he could disappear after all. Clover felt the twitch of a smile, almost turned around to toss the joke at Wonderful. Then he remembered he'd killed her. Black Calder gave a great scornful snort as Radierus was dragged out, making Stour frown over.
"Something tickling you, father?"
"Aye, rounding up magicians,"
Calder snorted again.
"Quite the bloody joke.
You can skip to the punchline right now. Head to the Great Northern Library and bring your friend the First of the Magi to see me."
The scorn slipped from Calder's face and left him grim.
"Baez is no friend of mine, no friend of anyone's. His help will cost far more than it's worth, cost you everything. Better off shaking hands with a plague."
"The dogman's daughter has the long eye," said Stour,
and a few of his warriors muttered and grumbled unhappily.
"I have to fight fire with fire."
"That'll win you naught but ashes," said Calder. "There's not much magic left in the world, and what there is ain't worth the price. You'd best hope all you find is tricks and liars."
And he sank further into his seat and took another swig of ale. Seemed with his brother back to the mud, he was set on keeping the breweries in business himself. Greenway was marching the next magician in, and she looked a lot less promising than the last. A sturdy woman with a ragged dress and dirty bare feet who couldn't tear her big round eyes away from the cage in the corner. Gregan Hollowhead wasn't in it any more. His head was rotting on a spike over the gates of Carlion. But one of his named men had come to complain about it, so the cage had a new guest. Starved and battered, one scabbed leg dangling from the bottom and nearly scraping the sticky stones underneath.
"How's this one?"
asked Stour, rubbing at his chin. He'd grown himself a little bit of beard just under his mouth while he shaved the rest. Clover couldn't understand it. Grow it or don't, but why leave bits? It was like leaving your wife half-fucked. But then Clover had given up on trying to work out why anyone did anything, especially Stour.
"She's from a village up near yours," said Greenway.
"That's so?"
asked the Great Wolf, considering her with his bright, wet eyes.
"The name's Seth."
Calder sat up, looking sharply over.
"Huh," grunted Stour. "That was my mother's name."
"Good sign, I guess," said Greenway.
"It's just a fucking name, fool." "I've heard tell you can see things, Seth, from up near yours."
She glanced around the hard faces in the room. No one could have looked more terrified, and Clover didn't blame her.
"Well, sometimes I do, I reckon."
Calder sank back with another great snort of contempt, made his son bare his teeth in frustration.
"What do you say?"
"One time, I saw the village burning," said Seth from up near yours, "and the next day, men came and, well, they burned the village."
"Saved everyone, then?"
She swallowed.
"Well, no, 'cause no one believed me."
"Guess that's their fault, eh?"
"I reckon."
Stour sat forward.
"You heard there's a witch down in Uffrith?"
"The dogman's daughter."
Seth, from up near yours, nervously licked her lips.
"I heard she's got the long eye. Got it real and true, like back in the old time. Heard she can see what a man's thinking. Heard she can stay dry in the rain, 'cause she knows where all the drops'll fall. Heard she's got everything that'll happen written in a golden book, and all she has to do is look it up so—"
"That's all shit!"
barked Stour, straining forward with the veins bulging from his neck, making everyone in the hall jump.
"But she can say things. She saw where my sword would be. Only reason I lost that jewel."
He got up, pulling that fine wolfskin cloak about him, the point of his sword scraping on the old stones as he stepped down from the dais.
"If she can say things, I need to say things, you understand? So tell me."
Stour stopped in front of Seth, the hall all quiet.
"What do you see?"
"Nothing,"
she whispered, shifting from one bare foot to the other, staring down at them all the while, like she was hoping if she couldn't see Stour, he wasn't actually there.
"I mean, you can't force the long eye to open."
"You can't?"
hissed Stour, leaning close and making her shrink away.
"Or you won't?"
"I'd help if I could, but I don't know how."
Her face crushed up and her voice got higher and higher.
"It comes when it comes. I just want to go back to my children."
She closed her eyes and squeezed tears down her cheeks, and Clover winced and turned his face away.
"Please don't kill me."
Stour frowned then, and he put a finger under the woman's chin and tipped her face up, so she had no choice but to look into his eyes.
"Is that what you think of me?"
She stared at him, goose flesh on her arms and her shuddering breath echoing around the hall.
"Look, I'll confess I kill folk."
And Stour nudged at the bloody straw on the floor like he was trying to hide the stain.
"But only when there's something to gain by it. I kill folk who wrong me, who stand against me, like that shit in the cage over there and his fool of a chief. I don't kill folk who do what they're told. I'm not the bloody nine."
And he gave that great hungry grin of his, which was anything but a reassurance.
"Greenway?"
"My king."
"Give this girl a coin and send her back to her children, eh?"
Stour patted her face and wiped some of the tears away with his thumb.
You tried, didn't you? That's all I can ask. You see anything, you let me know, eh?
She closed her eyes and wiped her runny nose and nodded, and Greenway led her shuffling out, and all the way Clover was wincing, half expecting Stour to run up and stab her in the back out of pure meanness. Maybe he would have, too, if someone coming in hadn't caught his eye. They called him Dancer on account of his slick way of moving, but there was naught graceful about him then, edging around the doorway, trying and failing to be one with the shadows. There was a certain look messengers got when they had news the great wolf wouldn't want to hear.
Dancer! Called Stour. You back then?
I just got here.
And? What did Oxel say?
Dancer crept out to that bloody spot on the floor of Scarling's Hall no more eager than Seth from yours had been.
Oxel's dead.
There was a silence. Clover heard his own breath as he sucked it in. The wind sighed cold through the high windows. The river whispered at the base of the cliff beyond. Then the great wolf showed his teeth and caught a fistful of Dancer's shirt and dragged him close.
He's fucking what?
Call Shivers killed him. Cut his head off in the circle.
How'd that old idiot get himself in the circle with Call fucking Shivers?
Rickard tricked him into it, squealed Dancer.
Before Clover saw her with the runes on her face, he would have laughed at that. But he wasn't laughing now. No one was, especially not Dancer.
Well, she tricked him and Red Hart into it. Then Oxel killed Red Hart. Then Shivers killed...
Red Hart's dead as well.
She's took her father's hall. She's took her father's land. She said Ufrith's going its own way.
She's fucking what?
Snarled Stour. And Black Calder burst out laughing. Started with a snort on his ale, then became a giggle, then a chuckle, and soon enough was a full head-back belly laugh. Wasn't a sound you heard too often in Scarling's Hall these days, unless it was Stour laughing at something dead.
What's funny?
He snapped at his father.
Far as the long eye goes, I've got my doubts, said Calder, sighing as he stood. But that girl's got a sharp mind and a hard heart.
He waved over his shoulder as he headed for the door.
Let me know when you're bored of ruining things. I'll do my best to stitch 'em back together.